So we've been, this is lesson four. We start on it, Proverbs and parenting. So if you have your Bibles and you have your handout, that's good. Open up to the Proverbs, all right? We'll be flipping through. There's quite a few references throughout. So I think it'd be good if when we see those, we would kind of look them up, see what they say. All right. And I believe we are... around page 4 and 5, we were looking at negatively on page 4 and 5 the attributes of the foolish,
yes.
Right? The characteristics of foolishness, the consequences of foolishness. To sum it up, it wasn't good. Right? It wasn't good. And so we're getting ready to start on just the blessings of wisdom. And I think as we get started, sometimes the right, there's sometimes a negative connotation to parenting about how much work it is, how difficult kids can be. But the scriptures, when you look at the Proverbs, they paint a very different picture when you think about parenting and having wise children, that there's a huge blessing. So let's look at a couple of Proverbs here that are on point D here. Proverbs 23, 24 and 25, and then Proverbs 29, 17. I have somebody that will want to read those. Dan, thank you.
Both of them?
Yeah, go for it.
A father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. Proverbs 29. Discipline your son, and he will give you rest. He will give delight to your heart.
Right. So this is a wonderful picture, right? What are the verbs or the adjectives? Right, what's going on here? The father righteous, what's going on?
Rejoice.
He's rejoicing, right? He fathers wise son and
glad.
He's glad, yeah. And father and mother both are going to be glad, and they're both going to what? Rejoice. And what's the kind of the condition here? When will they do this? Okay, where do we see that? He who fathers a wise son. And then there's one other thing that describes him. Yes, that's good. We're focusing on our observation. So yeah, right? We look at the scriptures, right? So we see that when we father a righteous son or a wise son, it produces rejoicing and gladness, right? So we're looking for that joy comes from the righteousness of our children and the wisdom of our children, right? And then slightly different, right? In the Proverbs 29 verse, right? What's the condition? What has to happen first? Right, you discipline your son, right? Mm-hmm. Discipline your son. And then what's the consequence? What's the result of this? If you have a disciplined son or daughter.
It will give you rest.
Mm-hmm. And... rest and delight, right? Can you imagine rest and delight?
Mm-hmm.
And can you imagine? All right. And so, like, we see that there's a connection that it doesn't come with foolish children. We saw previously that when we have a child that's a fool, it brings sorrow, brings mm-hmm. grief, right? But this process of disciplining and teaching our children and bringing about righteousness, it produces that rest and that joy and that rejoicing. Okay, so any thoughts on how do you give this wisdom to your children? We're gonna look at it in a second. How are we gonna do that?
Setting an example.
Yeah. So how we live our own life is gonna be key there. Anything else? Got our example.
Well, you do have discipline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we see that word, we're going to see that multiple times, discipline your son, so we've got to figure out what that means, right? Sounds like work, right?
Yeah.
Well, let's look at Proverbs 3:11 and 12. We see this come back again. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves, him he loves. As a father, the son in whom he delights. Okay, so the son is not to despise the discipline. And then we see kind of another word used along with discipline. What else is that? Let's also turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Let's see, kind of a mirror in the New Testament. Helps us get a good context for this. So in the author of Hebrews, he's talking about Christ and what he endured, the hostility of sinners. And he talks about, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. Okay. He says he's disciplining you because you are his sons. And I want to read verses 9 through 11, okay, where he talks about discipline. I have anybody that can read there? Hebrews 12, 9 through 11. Who's going to do it? You got it, Amber.
Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father's spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it.
Okay, so a lot of insight there, especially at the end of verse 11, right? Well, author of Hebrews, how does he describe the process of discipline? What's going on when you're disciplined by a parent or a father?
It's painful.
It's painful, right? It's painful rather than pleasant, right? Painful rather than pleasant. Anything else?
Sometimes you don't see the reason for the discipline.
Mm-hmm.
At first.
Yep. What's the purpose of the discipline there in Hebrews?
Teaching. So you correct what you do.
Yes. To some extent. Mm-hmm. You can see teaching in it says those who have been trained by it, so there's a training aspect. What else? Purposes. Why are we disciplined there?
For our good.
For our good, yeah. So discipline is for our good. It trains us. It can be painful rather than pleasant. Any other descriptors that we get from that text about discipline?
Yields righteousness.
Yeah, yields righteousness. That we may share in his holiness and fruit of righteousness. So mm-hmm. We see it's so that we may share his holiness. Okay, so in this, when we're looking at the Proverbs, flip back to Proverbs now in your handout, Proverbs 3:11, right? The author is giving some commands, right, from the father to the son. What are the two commands that we see when it comes to discipline?
Do not despise.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah. So for the son. Right, for talking to our kids, son and daughter. Do not despise or become weary, you know what it says? Or just be weary.
Be weary.
What do What do you think that looks like for a son or daughter to either despise discipline, be weary of discipline?
I know someone who's basically making like every foolish decision you can possibly make in his life right now.
Is this a parent or the child in this?
The child.
The child, okay.
As an adult. And he is also deeply resentful that he was disciplined as a kid.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
There's kind of a correlation.
He despises it. And I think a lot of people are taught in the therapeutic realm that being disciplined by your parents was terrible for you. Mm-hmm. You should despise it. Mm-hmm. It prevented you from being the true you and discovering who you really are. It was, you know what I'm saying, like this radical egalitarianism between parent and child, and they're taught to despise it, and when you despise the discipline, you despise everything that it was supposed to teach you.
Yeah. Yeah. It can really show up, like Dave was saying, if you, as a parent or society or culture, if you view the child as a good, they're good-natured, that you ought to just foster their own desires and their own...
Let the children lead the way.
Yeah.
Right.
Every plot of every kid's movie, it's like, we have to show mom and dad where they're wrong and let them become like us, pure and... Right.
Yeah. Early Godzilla movies were the same thing, where the six-year-olds told the generals what to do.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's
the kids. So, it just, yeah, if you have this view of children as, you know, good and pure, and then they get corrupted later on, you kind of have this idea where don't discipline them, don't change them. And you kind of saw, like you said, that despising often leads to foolish, right, foolish behavior. What about, what's it look like on the other side? What would it look like when they think of any examples where the child is showing that they do not despise and they're not weary of discipline? It's harder to come by.
Learning of what the discipline related to.
So their behavior kind of changes because they start to follow the...
Yep.
That they've been taught, right? What else would you expect to see in a child that doesn't despise? Maybe you can observe it, not just in your own home, but you need to see it from, you see a parenting and children where the children are not despising or growing weary.
They learn to respect their parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And authority in general.
Yeah, you see a translation of, if they don't despise their parents' authority, and they don't grow weary of being corrected and taught from their parents, you'll see that transfer, right, into all sorts of areas. Okay, maybe in their school.
Yeah, I think another thought is they don't, when thinking about how they were spanked as a child or disciplined as a child, they think, I deserved it.
Yeah, yeah.
They agree
with the assessment.
They agree with the assessment. They stand with their parents against their foolishness. They're not resentful of it.
Yeah. And one of those things, I think that really brings up from the Hebrews, he says in there that for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit. Right, so a lot of times the children, like that, are really being disciplined well. I don't know that any of them enjoy it at the time, right? Even if you're really well parented, you didn't really enjoy. We don't enjoy the discipline right at the time of discipline. But there's that sense in which children that are not growing weary and don't despise it later on, especially when they grow a few years older and they can then see younger kids, either their siblings or kids in school or kids in the church or kids in society, and they go, oh, I'm glad my mom and dad did X or Y, right? So what is this, like if you look at this proverb, what's some insight you can get on like the purpose and the nature of discipline, right? How does discipline and reproof, how does that give your kids wisdom? How do they get wisdom from being punished or disciplined or spanked? Depending on what discipline is going to happen.
They probably don't see it at first, but goal is, as this talks about, that it shows the love of the parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kid.
Very much. Dan said that it they don't see it at first, but it does show love. It shows the children that they are loved because their parents care enough to correct them, to discipline them.
Well, if you're disciplining your children in a godly way, you're not just applying a consequence and then walking away.
Mm-hmm.
You're walking them through what the scriptures say and comparing it to what they've done, to what is sinful. That's godly discipline.
Yeah, oftentimes we see those together in a pair, discipline and instruction. And you can think about that parenting very much like even the Christian walk. It's about you're putting off, right, sinful behavior. You're putting off sinful attitudes. And then you're being instructed about how to put on, what to put on. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so that... there's lots of different analogies to think about the garden. You're not just, you have to go out and pull the weeds, right? And you have to remove all that negative, but you also have to plant, right, what you want to grow. You have to plant your flowers, you have to plant your vegetables, whatever it is you're going to grow there. And I think what Dan said, look at the connection there in verse 12. For the Lord reproves who? Yeah, he reproves. So there's a connection that the scripture shows that when you love your children and when the Lord loves his children, he will discipline them and we will discipline our children. And that discipline is tied to a love. And we'll see later that, right? He who doesn't discipline, what's that show? The opposite,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Doesn't love, right? So... when to discipline, right? When our children need. Look at Proverbs 20, verse 11. Even a child makes himself known by his acts, by whether his conduct is pure and upright. So, right? Think about what this means. When we look at our kids and we decide, you know, the spiritual character of our children, what does this give us? What does this instruction give us as to where to look?
Actions.
Yeah, we look at their actions. We look at their actions. And what are some maybe some alternative ways to judge our children other than looking at their actions?
Attitude.
Okay, yeah, the attitude they show. Maybe the words that they say, I didn't really mean that, right? Or it was an accident, or I forgot, right? So there's a lot of reasoning kids can give to kind of explain away their behavior. But why is that so important to look at the outward behavior of our kids? And kind of use that to judge how their spiritual state.
Because the outward behavior is what's in their heart.
Yeah, it shows the reality, right? What are some temptations that we can feel as parents sometimes where we don't want to judge them by their outward behavior? Why is that so difficult? No one's laughing.
Oh, they're such good kids.
They're such good kids. They would never, little Johnny would never do. My son would never do that, right? Sometimes I see, you know, just working with lots of parents and kids, they often grope to come up with different explanations behind why their son or daughter did this or said this,
mm-hmm.
Right? And there's a reluctance to judge them by their actions and to try and give a different reasoning, a different explanation. Yeah,
I think we have to just be honest that it's difficult for parents to see their kids objectively.
Yeah,
because those kids look like you.
Mm-hmm.
They act like you.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously you're awesome, so
yeah.
They are too.
We extend it to them.
So I think there's that, and I think there's even the like, if you're going to really work with your kids on something and discipline them, you have to be disciplined yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That means your life has to change. You have to give up certain things. You have to be a lot more focused.
Mm-hmm.
And, or you might even create this adversarial environment in your home.
Mm-hmm.
especially if they're teenagers, because you're trying to correct them. So a lot of times it's just easier to just say they're good and try to gaslight other people. And you can even gaslight yourself to explain away all the actions so that you can deny what's obviously in front of you and in front of everybody else.
Yeah, very much. So a lot of it has to do with us, right, as the parents, right? Sometimes our kids can, they could also, like you said, you might have to change, you have to change your own life. Sometimes our kids' display is like one of our own, they're reflecting some of the behavior in our own life or our own heart attitude or our own flaws. And so it's especially difficult because if I correct them, then it kind of reflects back on me. Yeah.
I've seen a lot where parents will kind of impute a good motive on it. Like they did this because, you know, this is what they really were wanting, or they're responding this way. And it's not really looking at the action itself, but and probably not even an accurate motive, but one that parents kind of put on. It almost seems to justify, to justify it based off of motives.
Yeah, and I've seen, and I've probably done this myself, where that attitude as a parent, we can even communicate that to our kids, and we frame their behavior in our own perception. And so when we talk to our kids about the way they're acting, if we frame it in a way that, oh, you didn't mean that, you know, it was just a mistake, you know, like, then they kind of can accept that and view themselves in that same same way. And so looking at the scriptures, and if we come in and say, this is clearly a sin, you know, and this is why it's a sin, and framing that as in our own mind, helping to see our kids in that way helps them to see themselves in the light of scripture as well. And so it has a lot of implications on if whether or not we judge our kids by the way they act and speak, and let the scriptures use those actions to then describe, right? It reveals what's in their heart. Okay, that could be challenge. Can be a challenge, but even at a young age, right? Even from a small child, you do everything right, they're not happy, they're going to scream and holler and cry because there's going to be sin that's going to come out at different times. I thought about, I don't know how long we can spend on this one. What types of actions reveal the heart of a child, whether foolish or wise? So you can give foolish or wise either one, right? Think about what actions, right? When the child does this, man, that is a sign that they're foolish. They do this, that is a sign that they're acting in a wise way. Any ages.
When they try to conceal a sin.
Okay, hiding their sin.
But then on the opposite, when they confess.
And when they confess. Okay, excellent. Yeah, how do they deal with their own sin? Do they conceal it or do they confess it? None of them really tended to confess in our. We have lots of stories of when we discovered it, and there's stories that they told. Why are there 10 candy wrappers under your pillow? No, in particular, child. No child. Yeah.
I think of like Proverbs 9:8. Plus, do not prove a scoffer, he will hate you. Who will wise man, who will love you? So like, if they're like. If you're proving them, they like aren't responding well. It's probably a reflection of what's in their heart.
Right. Yeah. Yep. How do they respond when you correct them? I've talked about that with one or two of my kids in particular about I'm correcting you, and you seem to be, and then kind of describe the way they're receiving it, and what does that mean in the scriptures? That's good.
Maybe if they're destructive, destructive.
None in the Peter's clan, but not you. Yeah, destruction, that's just the foolishness, right? On the other side, they're, I don't know, yeah, careful. Helping out around the house. What else? How can you tell when you look at kids? You don't have to be your own kids. It can be kids that you see observing third party. Yeah.
I say, when they get older, what kind of friends do they choose?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And like, how do they deal with increasing doses of freedom? Right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes they have, you know, you've given them their friends. They've got their church friends,
yeah.
Right? And then say they get middle school, high school, and they start to get outside the house and they're on the sports. Mm-hmm. And then like, do they gravitate? Which kids are they really gravitating mm-hmm. towards? Are they choosing walking with the wise or the companion of fools?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, why do they like, you know?
Yeah.
It's a good one. Yeah.
Another one when they're little is like, do they obey mom and dad right away?
Mm-hmm.
So like, oh, go clean your room. Okay, why you like?
Yeah.
But if they're like, I want to play. And it takes a few times.
Yeah. And that is one that's like super, it's very, it's much more obvious to the surrounding world. I'll say that. To your extended family, to the people in your church, people in your school, everybody notices if your kids obey you or not, right? And that's kind of one of those things where it's a huge testimony to this, these are kids are walking in wisdom because they're being obedient. Or they're foolish because they just don't listen to mom and dad. Yeah. But, I mean, isn't that true? You can tell.
Yeah.
It doesn't take long to see a family together to tell whether or not the kids honor and obey their parents. I see a lot of...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
We all know brats when we see them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've been on vacation and at different ages, our kids would see somebody throwing a tantrum and they'd be like... He needs a spanking. Yes, he does. Let's just keep this. Is really.
Don't get any ideas, kids.
Yes.
For quick obedience, how much of that is on the parent and how much of that is on the child? As far as how. Some parents are really faithful, but they still have disobedient children.
Yes. So, anybody want to comment or respond? Like, she's asking, so the parents are working to discipline their children and train them to obey first time right away. The kids can still be disobedient. So, like, how do you gauge that when you're trying to determine how the child is doing, how the parents are doing?
It's definitely the kids' fault.
Right, that's right.
Consistency is a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
parents' and faithfulness, are they consistent with it? And
mm-hmm.
many times there are parents who are consistent, and their kids, they just have a very defiant child.
Yeah.
And they just have to stick with it.
Yeah, I think you bring up a really good point in that there's, I would say, there's a huge portion, I don't know if I say all, but there's a certain aspect in which when a parent is teaching a child something and they discipline them that they ought to do this and ought not to do this. The child wants to know whether or not they mean it, right? They have a sense of maybe they don't, right? And so they'll need to test it out long enough so that they see if the parent is consistent, oh, they really mean that. If they're not, oh, that's not really something that mom and dad mean. And that's how they figure out what they actually need to obey, what your mom and dad really mean. So there's a lot on the parent there in terms of being consistent. And then once, if you are super consistent, right, then it's just how compliant or how strong is the will of the child that has to fight against that over and over. Because some children, it doesn't take nearly as long as others
mm-hmm.
to receive that discipline. And so sometimes there's just being patient and a lot of encouraging the mom and dad back and forth. It's your turn. Right? It's your turn. And being consistent, being ready for it. I remember there's some commands and some kids that I knew that I'm going to say this and they're not going to do it. So as soon as I say it, I'm ready to apply some discipline.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And disciplining or they're allowing, and so then the kid has just learned I just have to stay on them, I just have to keep asking, and eventually they'll
I would say too, like, a lot of times if you give it, you need to know, give a clear directive and a clear command
mm-hmm.
so they know what's expected.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times people are very skeptical of, let's say, corporal discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Because how it's often done is, you're spanked for making me mad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the rule is, if you make me mad, you get a spanking.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. biblical discipline is not about, you're spanked because you made me mad. You're mm-hmm. you're spanked as a way of training.
Mm-hmm.
And so it needs to be done calmly with a clear directive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have to be very careful. And I wasn't very good at this. Becky was a lot better at it and pointed this out.
Mm-hmm.
That I had to give a clear expectation.
Mm, yeah.
Understanding that my word is law when I give it.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to be very
clear.
Careful
mm-hmm.
when I do that. It's not a suggestion or a question, but a clear command.
Mm-hmm.
And then there'd have to be an expectation that they have to do it. So part of it
yeah.
was I had to clean up my language.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, not in that way.
Right.
You know.
Clarify it.
Syntactically.
Syntactically clean it up.
Syntactically clean it up.
Yeah. That's a really good point, because, like, we're talking a lot about disciplining and correcting. But it is a technical skill. And there's a lot of practice it takes to learn how that process works and how your kids at different ages will understand you and how to know. And a lot of that it's going to require conversation between you and your spouse
mm-hmm.
on a couple of things, like, okay, what has our child demonstrated that they can do and understand?
Mm-hmm.
Because that was a clear one for us, is that if we know they've understood it, we've done the command, they have successfully completed it, right? They've shown us, they know when we say this, we know what they know what we mean. They know that we know that they can do it. So whatever it is, you know, put your dishes away. We tell them, they do it, right? All that process. Then we know that when they disobey, that's an issue of the will.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a skill thing. And also just realizing that disciplining in terms of, like, bringing them under our authority is different, and you don't necessarily discipline for, like, mistakes, like
mm-hmm.
I spilled the milk on the
mm-hmm.
table and it's annoying, right? There's a lot of that issue where it's just their children and they just can't do a lot of things perfectly all the time, right?
I think there's also just, like, a couple different things. There's seasons that are, going back to what Amy's question was, that are, like, you know, we had a grandson a year ago in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
You have multiple people taking care of the other kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
yeah.
So then coming back into that setting, there's some, like, regrouping time, there's some grace, there's
mm-hmm.
some things like that, but then it's getting back to the consistency.
Yeah.
We also just kind of found sometimes a roller coaster of we'd be disciplining consistently,
mm-hmm.
and then everybody levels out and is doing pretty well.
Right.
And then you kind of, like, get a little lax.
Yeah.
Discipline consistently
yeah.
again.
Yep.
Yeah.
Our kids just come up with new things.
Yeah. And I think part of that is kind of like what Dave said. The kids and the parents, they want to believe that, okay, we've got it figured out, right? I'm a good kid. Well, they're a good kid. They're going to obey me, right? And so then when things are good, and then they're, like, our prone to wander heart, right? When we start to disobey and turn away and do things that are not wise or foolish, it takes just a constant reminder, okay, let's be consistent. And I think both of you guys, that idea of consistency is, with parenting, much with the Christian walk, is that it's not perfection, right? None of us are going to be perfect. But consistently doing discipline, consistently training our kids over time, right, is what our goal is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it's good to evaluate ourselves and in, like, our response. I know, the passage, like, do not exasperate your children.
Mm-hmm.
I realized that recently in the last year or two, just some of the things that I was doing where I thought I was just being consistent and on top of things, and
right.
realized I was probably more just exasperating my children and how like I would
mm-hmm.
too swiftly to
oh yeah
say something pretty direct and
yeah
kind of break that down a little bit. And so yeah, I don't know, that there's a book, I can't remember her name, Johanna Presley, it's kind of a new one on biblical counseling
mm-hmm.
in autistic children.
Mm.
And there was a lot of really good just parenting general parenting,
mm-hmm.
and they're about evaluating when a kid disobeys. And mm-hmm. she kind of has a rubric. I can't recall all of it, but
right.
evaluating like what portion of it is direct disobedience, what mm-hmm. portion of this is actually they just didn't understand
uh-huh.
what's going on. That's kind of what you're saying.
Yeah.
And just being able to navigate through that. So it was like a disobedience could be a small portion of discipline, but
mm-hmm.
a bigger portion of instruction.
Yeah.
Or it could be the other way around,
yeah.
where not much instruction because it was pretty clear, bigger
yeah.
discipline kind of thing.
Yeah, quite a bit of that. I think there's just this period where with your first child and when they're young and as they age, there's just a big learning curve of figuring out what kind of instruction and commands, you know, a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, 8-year-old, 10-year-old, what can you, like, you can't just give a long list and say, okay, I want you to clean your room, make your bed, take out all the trash, fold your clothes, right? Now go do it. And then come back in an hour and expect it all to be,
mm-hmm.
right? At certain ages, maybe,
mm-hmm.
right? But they kind of need to develop and grow before. So knowing what you can expect and what's realistic. And I really encourage you guys, like, talk to other parents in the church, because sometimes we think that we can expect them, this is, like, they can do all this. And a better parent will say, no, they can do this too.
Mm-hmm.
And you just don't realize it because maybe you never saw that modeled in your home or, you know, your spouse's home. But you see their home like, oh, okay, yeah, the kids can do this and do that. So you kind of can raise the bar. Yeah, Leo.
How do you go from, like, you giving them a list to, like, teaching them to be, like, more responsible for what they need to do?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you're just giving them a list every single time and they're expecting that list, at
yeah.
what point does it become their responsibility to, let's say, make the list?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you do that?
Yeah, got lots of ideas. Anybody want to throw in here? Yeah.
The list starts with one item.
Start with one item lists. Yeah. So there is a sense in which as they age, they can handle more and more. But and you're asking that, when do you change it from just being little robotic soldiers that do to like kind of taking initiative, right? I know for us, there was a certain age where I can think of one child that would do exactly what I told them to do. But just when I told them, right? And so we had lots of conversations about, you know, you could take the initiative and you know that I want you to do this. And I'm all, you know, every time I ask you to do it, you're doing it. But I would like you to, whenever you see that this needs to be done, I want you to do it without me having to tell you. So you start to have talks about, and in one sense, for some, it's at different ages, but sometimes we just realize that we've basically just become what we've been trained to do. And it just becomes a part of the way we respond. And at a young age, you might have to tell them. Like for us, it was even the way in which if you call your name, you say, yes, mama, or yes, daddy. And then we tell you to do it, yes, mommy. Right? And they just, you have to tell them, but eventually that's just their need, their response. Anybody else? Yeah, Chris.
Mm-hmm. And so you have discipline and instruction and the training, and a lot of times the training can kind of be fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were times like when they'd be maybe playing outside or doing something, and I thought, okay, this is a good time. I'm home
mm-hmm.
with them. I'm, you know, I was doing some things. I finished them up, and so they're playing. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna see what they're gonna do, and so you can kind of see what they're capable of doing. In just your regular day-to-day, we were talking earlier about how do you know if they can do it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, when they're playing or having fun, go out there and be like, just, okay, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to see if you can do it. And so just be like, okay, go over and touch that tree over there. And so, okay, they did that. They can do that. They can
yeah.
follow an instruction. Okay, now I'm going to say, then I'm going to say, come to me. And they come to me. This is, like, when they're really little.
18.
Sometimes parents are like, oh, I just don't think they understand.
Mm-hmm.
And they understand more than you think. And so
yeah.
if you can do that in a fun way, when it's not like in a discipline moment.
Yeah.
Because sometimes if it's in the discipline moment, you'll give, I don't think they knew what I meant.
Mm-hmm.
When they really did.
Mm-hmm.
So you can know for sure if you do it just in regular times where there's no pressure on
mm-hmm.
either one of you. You're not in the middle of making dinner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought about just like the list instructional thing, how like with bedtime, mm-hmm. you know, when we started off, it's okay, go get your PJs on, mm-hmm. wait for them to come back, and then, you know, next step, go brush your teeth, mm-hmm. or, you know, or right. even more specifically,
yeah,
put the toothpaste on your toothbrush, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and then you walk through those steps, but eventually it gets to where you just say, okay, it's bedtime, go get ready for bed,
mm-hmm.
and then you're kind of checking and but seeing that, okay, they go get their pajamas, they go get mm-hmm. their, and they go take their vitamins, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. so it's like kind of taking, you've instructed them in lists, and then now it's the category of just get ready for bed.
Yeah.
So there's not following the specific.
Yeah.
You've kind of spent the time.
And I think one more thing, like I believe it's Tripp in Shepherding Child's Heart that talks about like the stages of parenting. And so kind of what you're talking about makes me think about, so oftentimes from like say 0 to 3, they'll talk about how that's about establishing authority, right? Getting the kids to understand and trust and know they're the authority. What they say goes, right? They say, I do it. And it's just do it. There's not really any. And then the second stage is really your teaching, where they've matured enough, they have language skills, and you just begin pouring into them, teaching them scriptures, teaching them, teaching, teaching. And then there's a certain age before they kind of leave the house where it becomes more like mentoring, coaching, where it's like, the kids are going to apply the things that you've taught them. And so in that stage, you start to, again, slowly pull back the commands and the lists to see, right, are they able to apply that? And you're still there to support them, right? So some of them are going to really take off and blossom, and you're going to let them kind of own their own life and their character. And their, but sometimes they're going to stumble, right? And that's, you realize, oh, I taught them, but they didn't really stick, right? And so you're going to be there. But this is a crucial stage, and each parent kind of does it differently and phases in, but it helps prepare them to then leave knowing that they're established in who they are, they know who they are, they have wisdom, apart from just following mom and dad's commands. Okay, let's go to point E here. Right? Just let the scripture speak here. Right? Proverbs 13:24. Anybody want to read this one?
Quick. Just yeah. A quick.
Okay, go.
Greg Gifford just put out a podcast uh-huh. on for the beginning of the year, like evaluating your kids and what discipleship oh. areas they need to grow in.
Okay.
So it's just a reference to that. It's really good.
What's it called?
Transform.
Transform podcast by Greg Gifford?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hmm.
It's kind of like a he gives 3 categories of what you kind of evaluate your kids and what they need to grow in.
Okay.
Look at the
trying to like setting your goals for them and
yeah.
where they're at now. Okay.
Really good resource.
Sounds good. Proverbs 13:24. Go.
Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him.
Okay. So we're just going to parse it out here. So we have comparisons, right? So we have actions and motivations. Okay, so what's the first one? What's the first action?
Sparing the rod.
Sparing the rod. And what does he say the motivation for that is? Of who? Okay, and then is there another action?
Diligent discipline.
Diligent discipline. And what's the motivation there? So, okay, so look at that contrast. It doesn't say whoever spares discipline hates his son, and whoever's diligent to discipline loves his son, right? So he's kind of comparing these two things. So what is the author kind of equating with discipline?
The rod.
The rod, right? The rod is mentioned in Proverbs multiple times, right? So let's think about that. Why would a lack of the rod, or why is a lack of discipline unloving? Why is that unloving? It seems contrary to kind of the modern culture, right? That, oh, if you love them, I'm gonna spare the rod, right? Why is that? Why does the Bible say that it's a lack of discipline is the unloving thing?
You're
leaving them to their sin. You're not teaching them.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of just pointing them down the way of destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the inverse of the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother. And then it's the commandment with promise, they'll live long.
Mm-hmm.
And so the inverse would be short
life. Right. Right. You're trying to protect them from harm further down the road.
Yeah, Ryle can be unruly and whiny and all that stuff, and it's amazing just what a good SWAT.
Yeah. A properly timed.
How much happier he is after that, how much better our relationship
mm-hmm.
is after that.
Yeah. So. It's for his good. It's painful rather than pleasant.
It is.
Right? At the time. But there's a lot of fruit that comes from that. Huh?
And it's for their soul.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, training them to listen the first time you say something to them, there's a good chance that you're preventing them from stopping when they're about to run into the street.
Right.
So there's physical safety that's super important.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's their soul. Like, they're little sinners and they need Jesus.
Right.
They need to know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at 1 Kings and, the situation is Adonijah is
mm-hmm.
trying to seize control of Israel, even though he was not promised or appointed to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And the commentary is, his father, which would be David, had never at any time displeased him by asking, why have you done thus and so? So because he was never corrected, you
mm-hmm.
see that he was self-entitled.
Yeah.
And thought that he deserved what wasn't given to him.
Right. Which led to...
Yeah. Which led to, like,
demise.
Bloodshed and
yeah.
his demise. And David's sin is pointed out.
Mm-hmm.
You never reproved or corrected your son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's also... I think it's significant that it doesn't say, whoever spares instruction hates his son, but he who is diligent to instruct him, right? So we're not focused on that actual teaching of imparting the good and what's right, but it's the discipline, the rod that's referred to here. Yeah.
I think also, like, if we don't discipline our kids, like, somebody will
yeah.
at some point. Like,
yeah.
they'll have to learn the lesson at some point. And I would rather them learn it from me.
That's right.
A boss or the government or ultimately the Lord someday. So.
Yeah. If it's not you, could be a teacher.
It's gonna be somebody.
It's gonna be somebody. You said the government. That could be a teacher. Could be the police, right?
Prison warden.
Prison, right? Etc. Right. And I've, I see it so, yeah, so clearly because, and the longer you wait to give the rod and to give discipline, the harder it is, right? That concrete gets more and more set and it takes more force to break it up. And I've seen
mm-hmm.
kids that come into school and they just blossom because they know how to listen and follow instruction. I've seen other kids that they go through a couple years where they're really only disciplined by certain teachers or certain administrators, and they learn how to be successful in those contexts. And it's, I don't know if, but as a teacher, we often hear conversations and from administrators, oh, this kid's awful, but then for this teacher, they do great. I don't have any problems. So you can see how the kids learn what they can do. And I've seen some kids that have gone through and they don't listen to teachers, they don't listen to parents, they don't listen to administrators, and I find out a couple years later, I see them,
I was in jail for a few years, right? And so at some point, they will receive discipline, right? And God's given lots of that we saw that when we talked about, just authority in general, that God has given all sources of authority to kind of be his representative. And so whether they're at home or whether it's under the government, God's gonna apply that discipline. So we'll stop there. Just let it sink in. Proverbs 13:24. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you so much. I thank you for the discipline instruction that I received from my mom and dad. And I thank you for each one of us here. For those of us who received good and godly discipline instruction. And I also just thank you for the ways in which you've trained and taught me to be better at disciplining, instructing my kids. That's not natural. It's not, doesn't just what comes to us. It's not easy. It can be difficult work. But I thank you for the fruit of righteousness and wisdom that comes as a result of it. And I pray for all of us here, those who of us who are past having kids at home, those of us who are parenting right now, those of us who have kids on the way, and those who are not yet married, just that you would help us to see the godly way in which you've designed and created parents to train up and discipline and instruct their children. I thank you for the Proverbs and the great wealth of wisdom that's found there. And pray that we might have open and receptive hearts, that we might be like the wise who love instruction and correction. Give us a heart for wisdom and instruction that we might pass on to our children. We ask it in your name. Amen.